Hey fam, it is Phoenix and you are in the wine cellar with me today. We are doing a pre-recorded episode mostly because I don't have time to finagle the whole Facebook Live setup just because of scheduling. It's Wednesday, so white on white crime. As usual, Florida has not disappointed. And I'm the only one here today because William, aka Father Teresa, aka Dark Skin Nigglesworth, aka Ellie Kane, aka the greatest black atheist, aka some other black shit, is working and is not able to be here today. So the wine cellar will be the same amount of time as usual. It's just going to be half as funny and approximately 75% fewer accents. But that's okay because y'all love me, so y'all going to hang out with me. So, what we are going to do, hopefully, because I haven't engineered in a minute and I forget how to do things sometimes, is hopefully get to a show opener, a trigger warning, and then just enjoy the whiteness. We are going to bask in the caucasity of the whole thing. Also, fun fact, I got a follow today from Bob Kincaid, who, if you are a nerdy podcast head, that's kind of exciting. He is from West Virginia and has this like hilarious like southern racist white man voice, but he's actually super progressive, so it's kind of fun listening to him say things. I appreciate it. So he followed me on Twitter. Of course you all can follow me on Twitter too, because I hang out there a lot. That is at Uppity Negress, 2 P's 2 T's 2 S's. I talk a lot of shit, I have a lot of fun, you know, all of that. So let me see if I can find our show opener. Someone remind me to ask William about a Wednesday show opener. I don't see just the Wednesday one. So we are going to actually take it back a little bit, if you're ready. Yeah, come around my way. Yeah. Come around my way. With me through my name.
Barely sold my shit up. Knuckles all fat and shit. It's alright though, it's all good. Whipped his ass so bad his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next 3 birthdays out this month.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid? This shit, he ain't fading nothing over here though.
One ass whooping, man. They still want.
How you figure that, man?
Look around you, man. They own this shit. They own this couch you sitting on. Them shoes you got on your feet. This building. This school. This country. You. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down and never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. I don't know shit. Freshman.
Disco, head feeling mellow from a bottle of Cisco. Move. To crush your fire, sucker MC like Crisco. Give me the cue. Check 1, 2. Don't try to come off for me, because you do. You're treating me the Z to the D like a stepchild. Let me tell you, homeboy, you're nipping foul. MCs, you know who you are. On the bandwagon, YZ, cause you a star. This is a year when the jokers are wild, when the fag can hack it and try to write your style. I get hip to the scheme before it happens. If it gets wild, then I'll start capping. But for now, since everything's calm, relate to the matter as I drop the bomb, because I'm house.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give. In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
You on this couch you sitting on?
This show.
Them shoes you got on your feet.
Is brought to you.
This building.
By the fuck.
This school. This country. You.
That Father Teresa does not give. All right, fam. Let's do this thing. All right, I have a bunch of stories. Oh, excuse me. And as usual, I'm not sure I'm going to have time to get to them all. But, yeah, let's see what we can do. I think we are going to start with this one because I think we're going to go, like, least funny to most funny. That's my plan. We'll see if it actually works out or not. So, this one is kind of an environmental story, but it's also kind of funny, mostly because I don't actually live where this is happening, so I can laugh about it, use my American privilege. I'm sure everybody's heard of Chernobyl, right? They had the very famous, like, nuclear reactor meltdown and shit. So apparently, it turns out nuclear accident, the world's worst nuclear accident in Chernobyl, wild boars with 10 times the safe limit of radiation are now being killed by hunters in Sweden. Damn. After the 1986 catastrophe in Chernobyl in Ukraine, a cloud of radioactive particles has reached Sweden. Environmental consultant Kaluna is seeing extremely worrying radiation levels in wild boars, and local hunters are now wary of killing boars for food because they're fucking toxic. Freichman from Kaluna Environmental explained that out of 30 wild boar samples taken from the area surrounding the city of Gavle, some Swedish shit, this year, only 6 were below the safe radiation limit. Alarmingly, flesh from one wild boar that had been killed by hunters registered at 16,000 BQ per kg. Becquerel per kilogram. All you need to know is that's approximately 10 times more than the safe limit. When you see that, people start to get worried, he says. Wild boars' feeding habits make them particularly vulnerable to lingering contamination from radioactive isotopes because they root in the soil for food and become more exposed to isotopes. It's not a problem for other animals who eat higher up. This is just kind of funny to me because this is... No, nuclear weapons are a good idea and it's safe and what could possibly happen? Well, now your other white meat is becoming your other white crime. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Oh my goodness. That was just a little environmental news for y'all, because I had to put it out there. Texas! Because we love Texas. A Texas college student murders a cop. Great. Alright, well, you know how we feel about police in the wine cellar. A Texas Tech University police officer was shot dead Monday after bringing a student into custody at campus police headquarters, say authorities. A call for a student welfare check led campus officers to the room of 19-year-old freshman Hollis Daniels. Police found drugs and drug paraphernalia, prompting the officers to take the student to the station, said a university spokesman. Officers then took the suspect to the station for debriefing and to prepare to take him into custody at Lubbock County Jail, according to According to Texas Tech Police Chief Kyle Bonath, during this time the suspect pulled a gun and mortally shot an officer. Sounds about white. The suspect then fled on foot and was later apprehended by campus police near Lubbock Municipal Coliseum. A university lockdown was lifted after about an hour. Daniels also allegedly ripped off the officer's body camera after the shooting, but the camera was still recovered, reports NBC affiliate KCBD. Detective Bonds of the Lubbock City Police Department says in an affidavit that Daniels told officers he'd done something, quote, illogical. Apparently, murder isn't a crime or a problem or a tragedy. It's just illogical when you're a white teenager. Good to know. And that he was the one who shot their friend. It's not clear if Daniels had the gun on him when he was taken to the police station or if he took the weapon from an officer. Aha! So I put this up on WineCellarMedia.com yesterday. Since then, it has come out that it was his own weapon and he was armed. But police felt he was so harmless, they didn't actually search him, despite the fact that he was being taken into custody for possession of drug paraphernalia and narcotics. Imagine that. Online jail records don't indicate whether, have not indicated if he has an attorney to speak on his behalf. Daniels is currently charged with capital murder of a peace officer, according to the Lubbock County Sheriff's Office. So, I mean, like, think about this, though. Can you imagine being so white that police show up in your room, find drugs, find paraphernalia, take you in for processing, don't pat you down, don't search you, don't ask you if you have a weapon, you panic and shoot one of them and kill him, you run away and take his body cam, and when they find you, they still don't shoot you, they tackle you on your campus and arrest you and bring you in alive. That is some of the whitest shit that has ever happened. That definitely sounds about white, man. I can't even imagine. Oh, excuse me. My sinuses are, like, all messed up. So fall finally started here, and it went from, it was about 80 all week last week to, it's, I think it's, like, 62 and rainy right now. So, yeah, my sinuses are like, what the fuck, man? And not just my sinuses. All of me is really just like, what the fuck? So I'm enjoying that. Now, excuse me. I believe because we do a lot of political news, we mentioned Roy Moore, who is running for Senate in Alabama. That was a beef going on between Trump and Bannon, right? The guy from Breitbart that used to work for Trump and then got fired. So now they're kind of like beefing. Bannon picked this candidate. Trump picked a different candidate. And this guy won the primary against Luther Strange. Could you imagine a world where the guy who's running to represent you is named Luther Strange? What the fuck? And so this guy, I think we showed a video of Roy Moore because after he won the primary, he was on stage like, I have something to say for people who don't like the Second Amendment, and like pulled out a gun, and he was wearing a cowboy hat and a leather vest with a tie underneath. The whole thing was fucking weird and white and very, very Southern, and I don't know. It's just some old white dude with a leather vest, a tie, a cowboy hat, and a revolver. I don't know. It's like some John Wayne shit. So that guy... his son has been arrested, and instead of taking responsibility and dealing with bootstraps and accountability, he's calling it a political trick and claiming he's being persecuted. So, former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore, former Supreme Court Justice, I can only imagine how he ruled in favor of cases where poor people and non-white people were in his courtroom. So Roy Moore, who won a hotly contested Republican Senate primary against incumbent Luther Strange last month, is calling his son's Caleb's nine times, arrest a cheap political trick. Well, maybe if he gets arrested a couple more times, we can make a calendar out of his mugshots. That'd be kind of cool. I could sell it as like a support the party thing. According to AL.com, Caleb Moore was charged with third-degree criminal trespassing, a misdemeanor related to another misdemeanor charge from November of 2016 for hunting without a permit. Oh, okay, so he must just be anti-bureaucratic paperwork. That must be it. He's not a criminal. He's just trying to save the trees. In a statement, Judge Moore's campaign chairman Bill Armistead said that this is a personal matter. Dog, nigga, once you get involved with police and law enforcement and the justice system, it's a public matter. It's not personal, but okay. He said it's a personal matter and a, quote, cheap political trick to detract from the real issues facing our country. a cheap political trick to detract from issues facing the country. Apparently, criminals are not an issue facing this country. Or maybe just not white male ones who are related to politicians. Maybe. The statement echoes Caleb's claims in 2015 when he took to social media after a marijuana and Xanax possession charge. What the fuck? Alright, fine. So, this year he's charged with, what was it? Trespassing. Last year he was charged with hunting without a license, and the year before he was charged with possession of marijuana and Xanax. Sounds like a great kid. He blamed his arrest on people opposed to his father's anti-LGBT stances. So, is he honestly suggesting police framed him with marijuana and Xanax because his dad hates gay people? Alright. This is nothing more than a prime example of how media and crooked police officers and critics of my dad try not only to destroy his career for what he stands for, but will go as far as trying to destroy his family, wrote Moore in a Facebook post that has since been deleted. It's always fucking deleted, and I can never find screenshots. Screenshot everything. Assume they're gonna delete it. Take the screenshots. I am not a drug user, as the drug test taken today will show. What the fuck, nigga? That doesn't mean shit. Alright. So, possession doesn't mean that you're using. It could mean that you're selling or holding for someone. And also, if you do use, it's not in your system indefinitely. You can smoke weed every now and again and still be able to pass a drug test. It's not in your system for 5 years at a time. It's in there for a few days, weeks, maybe months at a time if you're a heavy user. He says, I'm not a drug user, as the drug test taken today will show. As for the malicious possession charges, justice will be served. Justice. All right. Maybe justice with a side of affluenza. As AL.com noted, the 2015 charges against Caleb Moore were dropped after he agreed to enter a pretrial diversion program with the Pike County District Attorney's Office. Oh, so he was actually guilty. That's why he took that plea bargain. Because, you know, we know what would have happened if justice would have actually prevailed. Caleb Moore has also been charged with DUIs in Alabama and Florida and had three other drug-related charges in three separate Alabama counties. Three drug charges in three Alabama counties. DUIs, it doesn't say how many DUIs. I'm going to say one in Alabama and one in Florida. And then 2015 possession charges. And then, let me scroll back up. 2016 hunting without a permit. 2017 criminal trespassing. So yeah, there must have been three DUIs in there. That would make nine arrests. So he's been arrested 9 times. None of them are his fault. It's just because everyone's mad at his dad, because his dad doesn't like gay people. Which makes complete sense, because everyone I know who hates gay people has been, you know, wrongfully persecuted by law enforcement. I live in a red county. If there was really some police conspiracy to support gay people, I would have known about it by now. But yeah, so just remember, it's a cheap political trick, mostly because he's white and because his dad was a judge. You know, nothing to see here. Move along. Sounds about white. The complexion for protection. I think that's what I saw somebody say on Twitter about it. Good lord. Oh, some days I just fantasize about, like, if I was white, what would I do? It would be so amazing, right? Like, I could rob a bank. I could get a promotion. I would never be harassed by police again. I wish I was white.
You are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar.
Oh, I forgot I had this one. Speaking of robbing banks. I do believe this is a Florida story. Florida never disappoints me. I love Florida. Pinellas County deputies have arrested William Johnson, 26, of Pinellas Park. According to detectives, he robbed the Achiva Credit Union in Largo on October 5th. When inside the bank, they said he approached the teller, implied he had a gun, and fled the scene with an undisclosed amount of cash. He was later found at the Express Inn in Pinellas Park, where he was staying as a guest. Detectives said he admitted to the bank robbery. Oh, never admit. Get a lawyer, man. Johnson told them he needed money, and as a result, he Googled how to rob a bank. Googling how to rob a bank. All right. He said he also had originally planned to rob the Wells Fargo bank, but when he entered, changed his mind after seeing the teller was a large male. According to the Pinellas Sheriff's Office, Johnson said he spent the stolen money on rent, utilities, and drugs, and planned to rob another bank Tuesday. So this was just going to be a career path for this nigga? He was just going to be robbing banks all the time? I don't know, I need money, I'm just going to rob a bank. What? Google it. I think that the story here is that he should have used Yahoo instead of Google for better search results. I gotta say, I was looking up this story and, you know, obviously this is white on white crime, right? That's what it's called, right?
It's White on White Wednesday, and it's time for White on White Crime.
Right? Like, that's what we're doing. And so sometimes it's hard when I'm looking up stories, because I'm looking for, you know, like the more outrageous headlines, the funnier stories. You know, I check out like the weird news sections or the funny news sections. I love News Jax 4, because approximately 20% of all stories that happen around the Jacksonville area are just fucking ridiculous and outlandish. And sometimes I'm like, I can't tell if the people involved are white. I don't know, because they never have pictures up. But then I remember, if they don't have pictures up, they're probably white. And I'd say 90 to 95% of the time, so 9 times out of 10, 9.5 times out of 10, when I see a story like this was one of them, and it doesn't have the mugshot of the person involved, I know it was a white person. So I had to go back through the, you know, like the county or for the local police department or, you know, a local newspaper as opposed to, you know, like an NBC or an ABC, you know, whoever the local people are. And they'll post the mugshots. And they're like, oh, look, it was a white person. But I had to go through a few different outlets for this story because the story was hilarious to me. The dude is Googling how to rob a bank and then admits he's just planning to rob more banks because he's running out of money because he's going on drug binges and using it for rent. Which is also weird, right? Like, if you're using it for rent, why the fuck are you staying in a hotel? Go the fuck back home. But anyways, so yeah, I had to go through a few news outlets to find it, and it's just funny to me because it's like, y'all really are desperate to protect that white fragility, but if someone is a criminal, just put their fucking mugshot out there, you know? I don't know. Media is weird. Well, no, it's not weird, it's just racist, right? We know what it is. But, yeah, so, Mr. Johnson has been arrested. His mugshot is on winecellarmedia.com because I don't fuck around with that shit. I'll put your fucking mugshot up. I don't want your Boy Scout picture. I don't want a picture of you hugging your mom. I don't want your college graduation picture. You know, I will put up like the worst possible picture I can find of you, especially if you're a white criminal, because they deserve to have that kind of representation, right? Or that kind of, imagery up, right? Because this is how you create the narratives. This is the reason so many black people get found guilty, isn't it? Because his mother was a drug addict and his father has a criminal record and here's a picture of him wearing a do-rag. Obviously, this person is a thug. And then, you know, white people commit crimes and there literally was a guy in his Boy Scout outfit, right? The one who shot 2 black men on different days and just wanted to go on a racial rampage and was just shooting black people at point-blank range. In a Boy Scout outfit. But, you know, fuck that. If I find your mugshots, I'm putting up your mugshot. If I, you know, like the Dylann Roof articles we've done, I have pictures of him holding the Confederate flag, I'm doing that. If I have a picture of a white person holding a gun, that's what's going up. So, that's how Wine Cellar Media operates. If you didn't already know. Alright, let's see. What else do I have in my notes? I have so many ads. I hate ads. Oh, this one is just a super brief one, but it's amusing to me. There's a guy known as Champagne Torino, apparently. I don't know what the champagne is up with. That's what he goes by, but I can't find his legal name. He's a wanted man, and police have several existing warrants on Torino, but nonetheless, Torino thought it was a wise idea to taunt them publicly on Facebook. Because that's what I would do if I was wanted by police and I had warrants out. I would, you know, maybe go on Facebook and, harass them. No, actually, I fucking wouldn't. I wouldn't fucking do that at all. So this is in Redford, Michigan. He challenged the police department on Facebook, saying he would turn himself in if he got 1,000 shares on the next post. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Let me start that over. The fucking God Cassidy. A wanted Michigan man challenged the Redford Police Department on Facebook, saying he would turn himself in if the department were to get 1,000 shares on its next post. It all started Friday afternoon after Champagne Torino, God, this nigga wanna be bougie, left a negative comment on the department's Facebook page about a home invasion. After the department threatened to block him from its page, Torino challenged the police in a private Facebook message, saying if their next post received 1,000 shares, he would turn himself in and bring a dozen donuts to the station and pick up litter around all the public schools. The challenge was accepted by the Redford Police Department after making Torino's message public. The department received the 1,000 shares. You should have known that they were going to get the shares. People love to see criminals. As of Sunday, the post had received over 3,000 shares, and the dispatcher said Torino had not yet turned himself in. In the Facebook post, the department said Torino may or may not be a man of his word, but that in our experience, everyone gets caught at some point. No, not everyone gets caught at some point. Are you kidding me? Dear God. I really wish I had Dexter in the soundboard now. If you're all our Dexter fans, that scene where he's just like looking around the police station and he's like, no wonder we only have a 30% success rate at solving homicides. Yeah, not everybody gets caught. However, the Torino, Torino police, Jesus, Redford police continue and say that Torino has drawn a lot of attention to himself and that makes it hard to hide from reality. And then Torino responded by saying, you guys suck on their police department page. You know what? Fuck this shit. I'm going to their fucking Facebook page. I am. Let me see. I want to see if I can find it now. And these are the moments when you need to have a co-host, right? You're like, oh, I want someone else to say words while I'm trying to Google this shit. Because now I have, like, this weird awkward silence and I'm just kind of like, da 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 da. Making random noises. All right. Oh, they even have his picture up. How nice. Wanted Wednesday, Redford Township Police Department seeking... Oh, his name is Michael Martin Zadell, 21 years of age. He has outstanding misdemeanor warrants in the 17th District Court and several other jurisdictions. Mr. Zadell is known to be in the Redford and Livonia area or possibly local donut shops. Mr. Zadell has also been known to use the name Champagne Torino. So they don't actually, so it looks like he hasn't been arrested yet. I'm like looking for the updates now. Yeah, the most recent update was, from 6 hours ago from them saying that they still have warrants out and help us find him. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so, good job Torino, I guess. It got 4,000 shares on Facebook. I love this. All right, well, I mean, I normally don't be, supporting the white guys, but Torino, stay safe. I'm gonna laugh if they actually find you. We will definitely do that update. You maybe should not have done this. That is a level of, I don't know what. Audacity? Caucasity? General arrogance? I don't fucking know. The entire idea that you can just go taunt police on their Facebook page and think you're not gonna get caught. I don't know, man. Excuse me with the sinuses again. So yeah, we'll see what happens with this. I'm gonna laugh if they, Alright, also, what else do I have lined up?
You are listening to White on White Crime. in the wine cellar.
Let's see. Oh, this looks promising. Man loses NFL bet and then accidentally sets himself on fire. Why? Okay. Well, we take the NFL very seriously in this country. We take sports very seriously in this country. Huh. And this, unfortunately, is not about the Take a Knee campaign. I was really hoping, when I saw that someone set themselves on fire, that it was about Take a Knee with Colin Kaepernick and all of that. Unfortunately, it's not. But it's still a good story. So, Vero Beach, Florida. I told you, Florida never lets me down. A 27-year-old man was rushed to the Indian River Medical Center after suffering second and third degree burns after watching the Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay Packers game. Green Bay Packers game? Wow, look at me. The Indian River County Sheriff's Office received a call about the incident around 9 p.m. Sunday from a home in the 600 block of 9th Street in Vero Beach. Residents at the home said the family was watching the Dallas Cowboys Green Bay Packers game when someone put on a jersey that was on fire. Because of course you did. Because it's Florida. Why the fuck not? The man was then taken to a hospital by another family member. At the hospital, deputies spoke to the couple, who also admitted they were watching the NFL game and placed a bet and agreed to burn the losing team's jersey. So, as a poor person, that kind of pisses me off. Like, these, just waste things that you had to buy challenges. Jerseys are not fucking cheap. And even knockoff jerseys aren't that cheap. Like, the entire idea you would buy a fucking jersey just to burn it, that's kind of an asshole move. Like, really. Like, thank you for flaunting the fact that you have that much disposable income. You can burn perfectly good clothes, you fucking asshole. Ugh. Alright, that being said. So they agreed to burn the losing team's jersey. However, the man decided to try to wear the jersey as it was burning. When the woman's team won, her husband went outside to light his jersey on fire. He told deputies he was drunk. No shit. He was drunk when he thought it was a good idea to put on clothing that was on fire on his body. He was drunk. Wow. Didn't see that coming. He told deputies he was drunk and tried to put on the jersey while it was burning. Family members tried to pull the jersey off the man and the residents and then rushed him to the Indian River Medical Center. The man suffered third-degree burns on his right arm, right hand, and second-degree burns to his back. Are you serious right now? So first of all, you got so drunk you thought it was a good idea to just go outside and burn your clothes. Like, first of all. And then on top of that, you didn't think that it was enough just to burn the clothes. You fucking felt a need to try to put the clothes on while they were burning? What are you doing with your life, man? Ugh, damn. I can't even imagine that level of whiteness. Like, that's fucking just weird as shit to me. I don't know, man. I don't know. Let me see. What else do I have here? Oh, this is funny, except I think this is audio. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Okay. This is not audio. This is in Baltimore. Man, it makes me sad when I see really silly headlines and they're, like, not in the South. I don't know, am I, northest, Yankeeist something? It makes me sad when I see this silly shit happening up north. Like, oh, don't embarrass us. All right, a school in Baltimore was evacuated when school officials found a potentially dangerous substance. There was a suspicious odor coming from the third floor of a building. Fire engines and ambulances showed up. Two students and three teachers were taken to the hospital as a precaution. Okay. So let's see. A school shut down, evacuated, suspicious odor, fire trucks, ambulance, evacuations, people going to the hospital. What, might you ask, was the dangerous material that could have led to such an action? pumpkin spice air freshener. Yeah. They're not releasing the name of the school, which is kind of funny to me because I would be embarrassed as shit if that was my school that evacuated people because someone was spraying pumpkin spice air freshener and they didn't know what it was. This is that Becky culture, man. You can't fuck around with the Becky culture. Can't do it. All right, so apparently that's what's happening in Baltimore. They're closing schools because of pumpkin spice air freshener. Which, as a side note, can we just acknowledge the fact that pumpkin spice has, like, taken over and it has morphed into a whole fucking thing. It's everywhere. It's overdone. It's really just gross at this point. So I was at my office at work and there's a fridge there and in the fridge was pumpkin spice flavored butter. Pumpkin spice flavored butter. We've gone too far. Right? We need to start using that, Jeff Goldblum meme from Jurassic Park. You were so busy thinking if you could, you didn't stop to think if you should. There's no reason for pumpkin spice butter to exist. And pumpkin spice air freshener, like, doesn't that seem a little bit excessive? I don't know, man. I'm not here for this pumpkin spice culture. I don't know. Pumpkin spice butter. Ew. All right. Let's see. This one is in... I have all these stories. I have a bunch of short little stories today, right? Where are we at? Oh, yeah, I've still got some time. Okay. this is... Hicksville, New York. Yeah. The story about a burglar who went to work and went to work. Security video shows a man breaking into a restaurant. He opened the cash register, but before he left, he made food, refrigerated the leftovers, cleaned up, and left some of the money in the tip jar. Okay. Alright. So security video shows the man who broke into a restaurant in Hicksville, New York, started heating up a pot, and then while waiting, he used a hammer to get the register open, took the money out, and lingered, wearing food service gloves. Good job, Mr. Burglar, for taking care of your food safety and personal protective equipment. He cooked beans, chicken, and shrimp. The burglar ate the meal in the restaurant, refrigerated the leftovers, wiped down all the surfaces, and put money in the tip jar before leaving. This nigga has worked in food service before. This is supposed to be like a fucking former employee or some shit, right? Because, yeah. Yeah. That's gotta be. Yeah, I would love to know. I mean, actually, no, I can't say that. I would like to know who this person is, but if I do find out who this person is, that also means he got caught. And that's kind of sad. But I do like the fact that he cleaned up and he put the leftovers away. He wore gloves. He left money in the tip jar. That's kind of fucking cool. I'm kind of here for that. Alright, I think this might be my last story because I have to go pick up children and do things. I might be back. I don't know, we'll see. In the meantime, enjoy this. A time-traveling drunk man says he was sent from the year 2048 to warn us of an alien invasion. Skynet. See, I needed William here for this one just so I could say Skynet. A man claiming to have been sent back from the year 2048 to warn civilization about an alien invasion was arrested less than 200 miles from the Devil's Tower, the rock formation featured in the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Do they say his name? They don't say his name? All right. On Monday night, authorities in Casper received a call from a visibly drunk man claiming to be from the future. Officers arrived to find Bryant Johnson, there's the name, Bryant Johnson, warning them that aliens would be coming next year and people should leave as soon as possible. Nigga, where the fuck are we supposed to go? What the fuck? If aliens are real and they're coming here, where are we supposed to go? We don't have another planet to go to. What? Alright, so apparently we need to leave as soon as possible. I don't know where the fuck we're going. He claimed he was from the future. Johnson was so concerned about his mission to save humanity, he requested to speak to the, quote, president of the town. Okay. Cops said Johnson had bloodshot eyes, slurred speech, and a blood alcohol reading that exceeded legal limits. But at the time, the alleged time traveler had a perfectly logical explanation. No, the fuck he didn't. All right, what does this nigga say? The only way the aliens could send him back in time was to fill his body with alcohol and making him stand on a giant pad. So apparently you can't time travel unless you're intoxicated. Good to know. I feel like I should be time traveling soon in my future. Nonetheless, he was arrested despite his warnings. Strange things have been afoot late in America's least populous state. Oh, that's like shade, right? Just gonna, you know, that's what we know them for. Wyoming, the least populated state. Okay. Just a few weeks ago in Crook County. They have a fucking county named Crook County. Y'all play too much. Not even 200 miles from Casper was the first annual Devil's Tower UFO rendezvous. Devil's Tower, of course, is the rock formation in the center of Steven Spielberg's 1977 alien classic Close Encounters with the Third Kind, which will celebrate its 40th anniversary in November. The festival featured a parade, a costume contest, and speakers that included UFO investigators, people who claim to have been abducted by aliens, and others who have studied the possibility of extraterrestrial life. On the western side of the state, the earthquake swarm that has been rocking the Yellowstone National Supervolcano since June is now one of the longest such swarms ever recorded. Great. In a span of 3.5 months, over 2,500 earthquakes have been recorded, causing many to worry about the eruption of the supervolcano. Experts have said, though, that the earthquakes in no way indicate eruption is imminent. Stay calm, there's nothing to see here. I like whoever wrote this, too. They finished it up a little bit stylishly. This is Ryan Bort. All right, Ryan Bort. It's not clear if the localized fury of alien speculation and Yellowstone earthquake swarm are connected, but the truth is out there. That's fun. All right, I think that's going to be it. It's a little bit short, but that's okay because we went a little bit long yesterday. I have to go pick up kids from school. I have to go do stuff, pick up prescriptions, good times. I'm adulting. I'm being responsible, sort of. Kind of, mostly, yeah. So you can always check us out. I am on the Twitters at Uppity Negress, 2 P's, 2 T's, 2 S's. You can check us out on Facebook. We have Social Dissonance, a Critical Analysis of Justice. We have Reading in the Shade. And of course, check out winecellarmedia.com. Most recent podcast links are up there. We also post news on a regular basis. So if you would like to get a little bit more informed from stories you may not necessarily see in the mainstream news media, that is a thing. Also, of course, patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. If you would like to become a monthly subscriber, then you can have first access of the Thursday night, which is the Reading in the Shade podcast, as well as the Social Justice Bullies, which is coming back in the next week or two. And of course, if you do not want to be a regular monthly subscriber, you can always hit us up on paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam for a one-time donation. We appreciate that. And just, of course, as a reminder, we do use donations to keep us going. That is how we afford our equipment, soundboards, microphones. That's also how we pay web hosting fees for the website, which is an actual news website. We also have blogs and think pieces on there as well. And we're trying to get everything upgraded so that we can put our video on the website as well. I think SoundCloud is debating making it a subscription-only website where you have to pay to use it. And, of course, people aren't going to do that for our podcast. And then, of course, there's Facebook, who is temperamental at best about black people saying words on their website. So we would really just like to upgrade everything and make sure we can get all our videos, because we do a lot of Facebook Lives, and get those put on winecellarmedia.com, but we need to upgrade the storage space, and of course, we need donations to do that because we're poor, and also because we entertain you. We work for you. So a little bit of help financially would be much appreciated, because this is as much fun as we have doing it, and as much as we do think it's important to keep people informed, this is actually legitimately work. We have to do the show prep and make the show openers and you know, put in the bumpers and get the stories together and figure out what we're going to say about the stories and look for the stories and get the stories on the website. And it's maybe more time consuming than people realize. I think that maybe we should just do like a Facebook Live video that's nothing but show prep to show how we do show prep. You know, to decide how we're going to frame the stories, what we're going to talk about with regards to the stories, you know, what stories we need to follow up on, what we need to bring back, you know, maybe like, oh, well, this story is about Chicago police, so we should also mention this about Chicago police and this about the state police, you know, or this about the state budget, right? We want to get everybody as informed as possible, and that does require a certain amount of time, effort, and work on our part. So please help us keep going and growing. Use the Wine Cellar Media Fund on Patreon or do the PayPal. Of course, always follow us on social media. We do try to keep as many things as free as possible because we are just trying to keep the world a little bit more informed. So help us with that. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I think William will be back tomorrow for Free Thought Thursday. That'll be reading in the shade. That will go behind the paywall first and then eventually be released to the public. If I have time, I think I'm just going to record a super short headlines, maybe like 5 to 10 minutes of just a rundown of headlines that you should know, even if you can't access the full podcast tomorrow, because again, we want to keep people informed and we do what we can. So, have a great day. Be safe, be healthy, be well. Wish me luck with this fucking rain. All right. I think that is it, and have a good one, y'all.
Father Teresa's Wine Cellar is rated R for keeping it real.